For our gospel this morning, I would like us to turn to Matthew chapter 22. We'll read from verse 41 to 46. While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, "What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he?" They said unto him, "The son of David." He said unto them, "How then doth David in spirit call him Lord, saying, 'The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand, till I make thy enemies thy footstool.' If David then call him Lord, how is he his son?" And no man was able to answer him a word. So, in that day, any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. Our text before us is one of the interactions Jesus Christ had with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And if you look back to verse 15, you see that they asked him so many questions, and mostly about the law. And Jesus, if you go through, he answered them. He answered them many things. And finally, when they were consolidated together, Jesus saw that the opportunity to ask them a question. And he asked them this: "What think you of Christ?" So for our gospel message this morning, I will want to ask this question: who is Christ to you? What think you of Christ? It's a question he posed to them, and they gave him an answer. But was it the right answer? And in your heart, in your mind, how can you answer that question? What think you of Christ? Who is Christ to you? Often, some have compared Jesus to leaders of other religions. Some also have compared him to angels. And usually, when they do that, they put him in the same level like any other religious leader, like Muhammad, Buddha, any of them. They put him in the same pedestal. But the Pharisees of his day, they say that he is the son of David. Okay. And I took up two reasoning that some religions have. And I'll read that one to you then before I go on. Like the Jehovah's Witness. Well, they will know they say so much about Christ, but it's very falsely. This is what they say about Jesus Christ. Unlike in their book, I have it from their book. They say, how the Bible teach. And this is the quote: "Unlike any other human, Jesus lived in heaven as a spirit person before he was born on earth. He was God's first creation, and he helped in the creation of other things. He's the only one created directly by Jehovah, and is that called God's only begotten son. Jesus served as God's spokesman, so he's called the Word." Okay, and they continue: "At times, individuals are known by more than one name. For example, the patriarch Jacob is also known as Israel, and Apostle Peter as Simon. Likewise, the Bible indicates that Michael is another name for Jesus Christ, before and after his life on earth." So, in conclusion, they say Jesus Christ is an angel. They say he was a Michael, a king. Okay, let's look at Islam. Let's look at what they also say. And I say, quote from their Quran: "Behold, the angel said, O Mary, Allah give you glad tidings of a word from him. His name will be Christ Jesus, the son of Mary, held in honor in this world and the hereafter. He is of those nearest to Allah." So they say Jesus came only as a prophet. And this is what they say: "It is an Islamic article of faith to believe in all prophets, from Adam to Abraham, Moses, Jesus to Muhammad." Okay. "All prophets were models of excellence who were commissioned to guide humankind. The mission of the prophet was to establish justice for all. That prophets were the embodiment of righteousness." So in conclusion, they also say Jesus Christ was a prophet like any other prophet. He was a prophet like Moses, and they even bring Muhammad, after Christ, they say Muhammad is the last prophet. So in their understanding, Christ is just a prophet. And the others also, he's an angel. There are so many ideas about Christ, but I want us to limit ourselves to these two that we have. When Christ proposed this question to the Pharisees, "What think ye of Christ?" they were partly right in terms of the human nature of Christ, while they thought he was the son of David. That's why they were right. But like they deceived Jehovah's Witnesses and Muslims of our day, they did not think so highly of him as to know him as the son of God. They were right on his human side. He's the son of, yes, he descended from David. So like the other, like the Jehovah Witnesses of Muslim, they also have, they've taken just one part of him. And say, and even the Jehovah Witnesses, they haven't at fault, because he's not an angel. Jesus Christ is not an angel. So these people, too, their question is faulty. He's the son of David. The manner of Jesus' question was timely, because the Pharisees and the Sadducees had earlier proposed to him several questions about the law from verse 15 to 36, by which they thought to have exposed and entangled him. Look at how they thought about Christ. They thought he was just any other teacher, and they want to entangle him with their questions. It's interesting. And somebody would think like that. They called all that Christ have spoken, even before he gave them a parable, he taught them so many things, and they couldn't learn anything from him, but to come with questions to entangle him, to see if they will floor him. That's what is in their mind, and that's serious. But Jesus had answered them to their surprise and confusion. And if you look at the last verse, you see that they were silenced. They couldn't have any, but they were so surprised with just asking them. And you know, elsewhere, Jesus has asked his disciples that, what do you think that I am? And they say, some say you are Elias, some say you are John the Baptist, some say you are this and all that. And Jesus said that you are the Christ of God, the Messiah of God. For Peter said that you are Messiah of God, which he got it right. But look at these people. They said what? He's the son of David. They couldn't even see him as the Messiah who has come. But let's see what we receive from there. And now the Lord thought it wise to ask them a question of the gospel of free grace. They have asked so many questions about the law. All the understanding is limited by the law. They think they have perfection through the law. They think all that Moses have written, and they think, oh, through God, through Moses, God gave us the laws. And that is all that we know. And that is all that we can depend on in knowing God. But they were in error. Now, to throw more light on this important question, I would like to consider each word and emphasis therein. So I will take each, like the what, think ye, and the main subject, Christ. And we will see what we can, it can help us to understand the question more. The first emphasis here is the inquisitive particle what. What think ye of Christ? What place do you give him? What value do you put on him? What dignity and glory do you ascribe unto him? What reverence do you have of him? You know, Judas Iscariot had been with Christ for so many years, and all that he could place on him was 30 shekels of silver to sell him for that. That's what he thought Jesus Christ worth. What about you? How does he, I mean, value in your eyes? Or is he just in a song that we sing, oh, Jesus and Jesus? What dignity and glory do you give to him? Do you see him as what? And the second emphasis is the think, the word think. Some think not of him at all. In our world today, very busy in Accra, everybody is busy at his work. They may mention the name of Jesus, but do they even think of it, of that name? Do they even think of Christ at all? God is not in all their thoughts. Most people, God is not in their thoughts. Christ is not in their thoughts at all. Meaning that some think disreputable of him, and some think barely of him, and some even don't think of him at all. And nowadays, very common, people have been pushing the idea that God doesn't exist, and in that sense, they will come and say Jesus Christ is a fiction. Anyone who says God doesn't exist will come and say Jesus Christ also never had. And even they extend it back to him, Elijah and all those prophets of God who did what miracle, they say they were a fiction because there's no historical records or something like that. So that is the idea of people today. Some people, and in our generation today, it's very common. And people embrace a lot of ideas about so many things. And Jesus is being spoken of, but no thinking of him. But what think ye? What is your judgment of Christ? What is your view of him? What is your feeling of him at his presence? What is your dread of him? How stand you affected towards him? And what consideration do you have for him? Above all things, in all your dealings in life, in all your consideration on every matters, who is Jesus Christ to you? What do you think of him? And I'll check on the pronoun ye. What think ye of Christ? He said to them, you Pharisees and Sadducees, together, everybody, what think ye of Christ? You that are so busy in starting questions about the law, You think you are so wise in your laws, and you can, try to corner people by your knowledge in the law. What think you of Christ? The end of the law. That's what you think. You legalists and self-righteous people. What think? Some people think, by moral perfection, God will accept them. And the life of Jesus and the work Christ came to do is nothing at all. After all, if I'm a good person, why should I believe in Jesus Christ? After all, I've not done anything bad. Like, as Paul said, concerning the law and the religious, that he was 100% perfect. So most of them think that's what it is. If you have that mind, Jesus will mean nothing to you. Okay, let's look at. Although this question was proposed to the Pharisees specifically, it concerns everyone in general, and it's a question for the unsaved. It's a question that anyone who have never known Christ have to ask himself: who is Christ to him? How does this stand affected of him? And let's quickly check on the object of the question, the subject, which is Christ himself, the Messiah. What think you of Christ? What think you of the Messiah? What think you of the anointed one of God? As Peter said, you are Christ, the Messiah of God. It is remarkable that Christ is not, what think you of me? When you are asking of from the disciples, he said, what think you of me? But to the Pharisees and servants, he said, what think you of Christ? So do you know, with that, if they had answered that he's the Messiah, then they thought he would have cornered them. But Peter knew he's the Messiah. So he said, you are the Messiah of God. Because Peter and others have believed on him. But those who have never trusted in him, the answer was faulty. Like our friends, the Muslims and the Jehovah's Witnesses. That God, Christ, God's anointed, and God, Christ is God's promised Messiah. Here is the proper object of esteem of all rational beings. Anyone with a thinking thought should be able to answer this correctly. And especially creatures of sinners, people who are still in their sin. And this thought of him should bring about everything they have about their life as they are perfect before God. It should destroy everything. A perfect thought of Christ will destroy everything. But a perfect thought of Christ will make you know that you are a sinner. The perfect thought of Christ will make you know that Christ is beyond just a human being before your eyes. Okay. Someone gave a remarks on a man as a rational being, a thinking being. Because this is a question that requires thinking. What think you of Christ? And I'll read that one to you. That man is a thoughtful, a thinking creature. But let's look at the sinner's thought. A man without Christ, what the thought has been. God created him with a thinking faculty, capable of free thought of reasoning, capable of rational thought concerning God and spiritual objects and celestial things. Animals also have some sort of thoughts, yet are not capable of reasoning like men. Okay? Man was endowed above beasts with faculty capable of celestial contemplation. Man was given the mind to be able to think about God and the heavenly things. It is peculiar to the creature called man and angels to think of God, and to think of Christ. Other creatures are not capable of such thoughts. This is plainly supposed in this way. What think you of Christ? Christ perceived them, they are men. They should think. And their thoughts should raise up to God. But let's look at the faulty thoughts of people who are unconverted. That man's thought, together with all the faculties and powers of his soul, have got such a dash by the fall of Adam. That's what the person says. That they were set a wavering after Adam beside God, the chief good. He compared like something which falls from a high height and being splashed over and is able to consolidate itself. That's what the man, Adam, after the fall, his mind has been. He's now, instead of thinking about God and heaven and Christ and all that, is now following up the other thoughts which are not right. So his mind has now turned because of the fall of Adam, and that has been the mind of everyone who is unconverted. He seeks about other things which doesn't have anything to do with God. Yeah, the fall of, as I said, okay, since the fall, he could never have a right thought of God in his head. Yeah, God is not in all his thoughts. Yeah, innumerable other things fill up the room which God should have. Things have filled the mind of men. instead of God and who God is. And all things concerning God are up to Christ, His Messiah, the sent one. So the thought of the unconverted mind is so distorted. It's so distorted. God, He created man upright, but He had sought out many inventions, so much that now every imagination of the thought of His heart is only evil continually. In Genesis chapter 4, verse 5. When sin increased and God came, we see that man has what? Sought out so many inventions. Man has created things for himself. Instead of focusing on God, the object of our love, the object of our praise, the object of our being, no, because of the fall and the corruption and sin that came in, man's thought is corrupted. That is why those who think that man can choose Christ is interesting. A man who has never known Christ, who has never come to know anything about God, his decisions are always about things, that has nothing to do with God. He might even try, but he can never get it right. Like the Pharisees that we talk about. He cannot. Except God helps him. And as I said, since the fall, the world and the lust and all the desires of the world has monopolized and engrossed the thought of the children of men. Things, the love of things, the love of pleasure, the love of worldly things has filled the heart of man. Every unconverted person, that's the desire to make life good, to live in a better state, and nothing of Christ, and nothing of God. And I say to make his at the best, you can become a religious person. You go to church, do some few duties. After all, I'm accepted. And that's the best a fallen man without Christ can do. While other animals look downward upon the earth, the Creator, God, gave man a lofty face and ordered him to look up to heaven and lift his countenance upright toward the stars. Do you see how man look up to heaven? God made him so that his thoughts could go up. But animals, they look down. That's what the person is saying he explained the fall. So the fall has now, instead of man looking upwards, it's almost like an animal thinking on earthly things. Things to fill the stomach, things to fill the body, to make the body happy, and that's all. Nobody cares about the soul. That's the state of the fallen man. So this question is to such a man, what think you of Christ? And the question will be totally wrong. Until Christ comes in, helps him, and there's an understanding in his mind, and that he's able to understand what it is about Christ. But the question is, what think you of Christ? The word itself is but a dead letter without Christ, as I said. The question about Christ will be like nothing to you without Christ himself. Without Christ himself. But at this point, I want to answer from scripture who Christ is. We have explained whom this question was intended. It was intended to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And it is now also intended to everyone who have never come to Christ. And I've explained the distorted mind of the unbeliever. How by the fall, the mind is corrupt. And that they can never think any good about God, but he thinks about only earthly things and earthly pleasure. Okay. The first thing about Christ, that Christ was God incarnate. Christ was God incarnate. The Messiah was God incarnate. He's not an angel Michael. And you can have that reference from John chapter 1, verse 1 to 5 to 14. You can write it down. And Hebrews 3:16. I'll read Hebrews 3:16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in this world, we received up into glory. This captures the whole condescension of Christ. Christ was what? Manifested in the flesh. You go to John chapter 1, you see that. And you say what? God was manifested in the flesh, in the form of Christ. So that is the first answer to the question. Christ was God who was manifested in the flesh. He wasn't an angel. And if you see elsewhere, John chapter 17, verse 5, in Philippians chapter 2, verse 6, also, it says that Christ shared the glory of God. Those verses say Christ shared the glory of God. And I read chapter 17, verse 5 for you. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thy own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Christ in his prayer told his Father, glorify me with thyself, with the glory I had with you before I came to this world. And I'm sure we know in Isaiah 48 verse 8, the Lord said, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not share with any other. How can Christ claim to share glory with God? And God said that he doesn't share glory with anybody. It's only God who can claim his own glory. So Christ, the Messiah, is God incarnate. It's God who came into this world. And so then he's able to share the glory of God. So that's why the Pharisees always, they think when Christ says, I'm the Son of God, this is a blasphemy. Because you know, anyone who claims to be Son of God is God. So they thought it to be blasphemy. And there's another part also of the Messiah, who the Christ, that the question is about. Christ, the Savior of the world. He's not only God, or he doesn't share just the glory of God, but he's the Savior also of the world. In John chapter 4, verse 42, and Jude 25, 1 John 4:14, you can write them down. But I'll read John chapter 4, verse 42. And said unto the woman, the Samaritan woman, now we believe not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Who is the Savior of the world? And it's very interesting that no religious leader has claimed to be Savior of the world. I've never heard it before. God is the Savior of the world. Because none of the religious leaders can die for sin. They can't, and it cannot be accepted. Christ's life, pure life, he came to live, is the perfect sacrifice and a perfect offering for sin. So he is the only Savior of the world. So in answering this question, who is Christ? We might have this in view. Christ is God. Christ is the Savior of the world. Christ shares the glory of God. That makes him a perfect Messiah. Anything short of this makes nothing of Christ. Anything short of this makes nothing of Christ. Friend, there are many things to say of Christ, and if you want to describe his office and work, there are many things to say. But for the purpose of this morning, I will limit myself with only this that I have said. And let's look at the results. If Christ is the Savior, what does the Savior bring? What does he bring to this world? The Messiah. Christ, who was manifested in the flesh. God, who was manifested in the flesh. What did he bring? It is a notable saying that Christ had to the same purpose when he told the Jews. In John chapter 5, verse 38 and 40, he said, search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. And they are they who testify of me, and ye will not come to me that ye might have life. The Savior offers life. Without the life the Savior offers, what would be the Savior? He offers life. And he told the Pharisees, Your laws that you say you are reading, and all the prophets you say you understand them, they all testify of me. And it's true from Genesis out throughout the prophets. Christ has been testified of, that Christ is God. Christ, the Messiah, is the Savior of the world. But they say that they will not come unto him, that he will have that life. Jesus is telling them, you think you have eternal life in the scripture, but the scripture testify of me. Yet you will not come to me, though the scripture testifies that eternal life is only to be had in me. Eternal life is only to be had in Christ. Even our temporal life owes up to him. But this temporal life, we lose it. Because nobody will live forever. So Christ doesn't concern himself with the temporal life that we have. He is concerned with the eternal life, which endures forever. In 1 John 5:12, 5:11, he says, and this is the record that we are... And this is the record that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. So we see, eternal life which God has given is in his Son, the Messiah, Christ himself. And verse 20 says, Christ is the true God and eternal life. Christ is the true God and eternal life. Christ is God and eternal life, in verse 20. See then that the scripture testifies of Christ that eternal life is in him. In vain do men think to have eternal life, even in the scripture. Why they will not come to Christ, that they may have that life? And people can think they will have life, the Pharisees and those who think the law can make them better. Yet that life is in Christ Jesus, but they will not come to him. It's serious. People may think respectfully of the scripture and yet perish in their ignorance. People may hold, oh yes, we believe the Bible is the word of God. like there's one charismatic preacher who comes to the television, he holds the Bible, we believe the Bible is the word of God, we believe all the words and all that. But when you come to speak, all of ignorance about the scriptures. So many people will have some knowledge of the Bible and they will hold it so dear, so sometimes, but then they will perish in their ignorance until they come to know that Christ is the one who offers eternal life. Why did not think respectful of Christ in accordance to the testimony of the scripture? Therefore, the general question is, what think you of Christ? If the question, the answer and the thought about him is faulty, then still you have to inquire, who is Christ? Until you have had the answer to that, who Christ is, all that you know about him is distorted. But have you thought of him as a savior? Has it ever occurred to you that Christ is the savior of the world? Christ is the savior. And when you think of a savior, some people also think of this general savior. Yes, Christ is the lamb of the world. He came to die for the whole world. So they say, oh, what is left? Christ has already died and paid for sin already. So don't worry yourself. Oh, just obey some things about him and you are done. And I'll go back to the Jehovah's Witness. Do you know what they say? They say that the gospel is not about a change of heart. I didn't have that book, but it's in their book. It's not a change of heart, but it's about teaching people to know the things of God's kingdom and people adapting themselves to that kingdom so that when the kingdom comes, they will be able to live in that kingdom. Such interesting idea. So their concern is about the heart change. They don't think about that. No, that's not their interest. It's to teach people about a coming kingdom which God is going to bring and make people to adapt themselves so that when the kingdom comes, they will be able to live in that kingdom. But the Bible doesn't teach that. It's rather a change of heart. And also the Muslims, I'm using two of them because that's what they are taught that I used to start the topic. For them, they don't think of any original sin. They didn't inherit anything from Adam. As we believe, and the Bible teaches that men were born sinners because of where we come from Adam. They don't think so. So their thought also is false. What the Savior saves from, not just the temporal, I mean the physical sin that we see, the actual sin that we commit, but the original sin that we are born with. The source of us, of our being, that's where he saves us from. So when you get this thing wrong too, there's no way you think of a savior. Like the Jehovah's Witnesses, we think the heart, right, the seat of sin, needs no correction, needs no salvation. Because they believe that there's nothing like that. So all that they think, just adapt yourself to norms, regulations. And their regulations are what Tawa sends to them. Not even what the Bible teaches. So they just pick some of the Bible verses and what Tawa sends to them. They live, and they say they are living and preparing themselves for the coming kingdom. But that's not what Christ talks about, the coming kingdom. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. How can he be born again when there's no heart change? Being born again is not changing, oh, I'm this, I'm that, I'm changing, I'm adapting myself to certain standards. No. Or following certain steps. No. It's a heart change. Except a man be born again, he can't see the kingdom of God. And these people are always parading about Jehovah's kingdom. And yet, they don't talk of the heart change. But Christ came, the Messiah came, so that you come and save his people from their sin. In Matthew chapter 1, he said that the name Jesus, he will come and save his people from their sins. The Savior saves from sin. He also saves us from the influences of the world. When he saves us from the influences of the world. The attractions, the desires, the fun of the world, and everything that the world offers, that doesn't glorify God. He saves us from. Am I an idol worshipper? God saves me from being worshipping idols. Am I a person who loves to to have all the world knowledge and to pride myself, I am the most intelligent person in the world? Without Christ, Christ saves me from that. He brings me to a state that I realize that, all my thoughts and all my understanding and all that I value that they were better are nothing before him. So he brings humility to the heart. So when the heart is humbled, it's able to wait for the kingdom of God. It's able to see Christ as the Savior of the world and the Savior of himself from sin. So from this thought of saving, salvation from sin, of the original sin, he also saves from the actual sin that we do. And the power of the actual sin that comes to us. Not only the original sin that is in us, the power, the attractions of the world, that which will draw us to follow after the world, and even from the power of Satan. Because Satan combines our fallen nature, okay, and the attraction of the world, and put temptation in our hearts. Without these two, Satan will have, there's nothing to attract us, and nothing in us. So ourselves and the world, he combines to attack us. And God, the Messiah, does this by saving us. The power that attracts us, he gives us. Those he saves, he gives them the power over that. So that we are not controlled by the world again. Our thoughts and our being, our whole formation become anew. And become a new creature. So the Savior, who poses the question here, is about himself. What think you of Christ? Yes, he is the son of David by the physical lineage. He's a prophet. He came as a prophet. And if you can talk about so many things, he's a king. He's a priest, our high priest and everything. But think of him this way. He's a savior. Is he your savior? Is the Messiah your savior? Have you ever come to him? Have you ever realized your state that it's only Christ who can give you the solution to your heart sins? Sometimes, as we always say, when people come to church and at least they have the Bible and they hear a lot of reading, they're able to stop some of them. I mean, physical, but after all, if he does, everybody will say, oh, this person, he goes to church for nothing. But the heart sins. Who am I? My pride, my volition, things that I want for myself. When the Savior comes, he crushes everything of that. And I see myself as nothing before him. Like the thief that was crucified with Christ on the cross. When he saw he has lost everything, he has no hope, he's hopeless, dying. Say, remember me when you come to your kingdom. And Christ said that, today you'll be with me in paradise. That's how we have to come to Christ. We should see him as our Savior and ourselves as nothing. And yet, as I said, some will think, oh, I've not done any bad thing and all that. But there's the original sin that you were born with. That thing has to be taken care of. That thing, you cannot say that you didn't, it's there, it's in you, it's in me, it's in everybody. It needs cure. And it's the Savior who can come and clean that for us. So, let's think about this question. What think you of Christ? And our answer to this question will tell us our standing before God. Our answer to this question will tell us how prepared are we for the coming Savior. How prepared are we? And how we are able to stand before God. So who is Christ to you? Who is Christ to you? Those who have never seen him as such, I pray that you come for him, you come to him for repentance. For Christ is ever ready. He's ever willing. It doesn't matter how many thoughts you have about him. It doesn't matter how you have thought disrespectfully of him. It's no man. Like a man whom you sin against, the next time you say, no, I won't look at your face. But Christ is not like that. Christ is ever willing. So you come and he'll receive you. Let's pray together. Oh Lord, our dear Lord and God, we come to thee in humility, come to thee praising thy name and bring thee adoration. For indeed thou art the Savior of the world, and from thee the fountain of life, from thee is eternal life, from thee we can have a new birth in Christ. Oh Lord, come and be our Savior today. Come so that our thought of thee will be enlightened. Come that, oh Lord, that we will not be lost with ourselves, with our preconceived ideas about thee. Enlighten our heart and mind so that we may understand and know thee as our Savior. O Lord, be with us and come now and bless us. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen.